Hello, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. I'm very excited today about our episode. There's something about the healing power of light. And from a spiritual perspective, from a physical perspective, I think everyone just sort of feels better when they're walking in the light, especially when we're outside in God's creation, in nature, absorbing light. And just being in light. We know that people in darkness, and I'm talking about northern latitudes, you know, in Alaska, or the northern, in the winter, people get those winter blues, partly from lack of sunlight. So today's show, we're not talking about sunlight, but we're going to talk about ultraviolet blood irradiation, which may sound crazy to some of you, especially if you're new to a more integrative or functional medicine approach to your health. But I will tell you, I was reading an article the other day entitled, "The Cure That Time Forgot." So what we're going to talk about today is really an old therapy. It's been around for a long time, kind of got put on the shelf, but it's reemerging because of its amazing health benefits and because we understand it more. We understand the science behind it more. So I'm really excited to talk about this topic today. And a little preface before we dive in and we bring in our guests to talk more about this. I want to remind everybody that, as you all know from every week we talk about this, the four pillars of nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, we feel like are the foundational elements to stewarding your health. The body was designed to work right. The body was designed to not start to deteriorate at age 27, which is the average age of health decline now for millennials. The body was designed to live all your days mentally and physically healthy if we steward it properly through proper nutrition, hydration, movement, and being at peace, and probably the peace being the most important of all. So these are the foundational elements we preach, we teach, we believe in. We believe that if you do this well, you shouldn't need a doctor. However, I can also say that there's patients that come to our clinic that have not stewarded those four things for 30 years or 40 or 50 or 60 years. So there's major dysfunction in their body. There's maybe some permanent dysfunction in their body. There's such a burden of inflammation, a burden of toxicity, a burden of chronic infection. That we sometimes need to look for other tools, other devices, other therapies that can treat symptoms while they're working on those core four pillars, or even potentially even treat. We have to be careful with that word, treat some of these diseases with some of these devices. So we're always looking for some cutting edge things or old things that have reemerged. And our standard is, of course, efficacy. It needs to work. Whatever therapy or device or substance we're recommending needs to work, and the benefit needs to outweigh the risk, and ideally would there be no risk or very minimal risk. So whenever we're looking for new technologies or devices or therapies, these are kind of the things we consider. I don't want today's show to be, it's not a sales pitch. We are going to talk about an amazing device, and we have the developer of the device. The device is called PL2020, and it's pretty incredible. But this isn't a sales pitch for that. In fact, I tell all my new patients when I'm interviewing them and we look down into our IV room and people sitting in the IV chairs, and I tell the patients, my goal is for you to never sit in one of those chairs. I want you to just be well and not need a doctor. I want you to get your foundation and your core set so well that you don't need a doctor. So that's our heart and that's our goal, but we do need some of these cool devices at times. So. And this one in particular, I'm super excited about. So today's guest we are honored to have with us today is John Skordos. He's the developer of PL2020, and I'm going to let John share his own story with you. So John, welcome to the show today. Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and I'd like to give all my guests an opportunity to share as much or as little as they'd like to about your personal journey of where you came from and how you got to where you are today and doing what you're doing today. So as much as you'd like to share, please tell our audience about yourself.
I appreciate that. It's kind of an interesting history I have. I'm first born here from Greek parents, and my dad had retail stores, which I ran for a number of years. And unfortunately, he passed away when I was in my early 20s. And so I took over the retail stores and developed myself into managing all of them and decided that I wanted to look at different areas of professionalism. And I went back to school and got a computer science degree. And long story made short, I ended up running the Washington Times for 10 years. I was the CTO of United Press International. I implemented infrastructure globally. I actually taught Under Armour international distribution and manufacturing. And I was the first, I was partaked as one of the first engineers that assisted the first cloud for Microsoft, and it was with Chrysler Corporation. So being that said, about 7 years ago, I was told I had prostate cancer. And I'm not a pill taker. I believe in natural therapies and so on. So I started traveling around the country, Ben. I was looking at different procedures, different types of procedures that could alleviate the situation I was in. And I found something very interesting, and it caught my attention so much that I looked at it from the engineering side. I started looking at the history, and as you had mentioned before, ultraviolet blood irradiation came out in the turn of the century, and it was used well back in the 20s and 30s. It got rid of 100% of diseases, Ebola, MRSA, sepsis. It saved a lot of lives. And it progressed until the early 50s, a little bit of history. In the 50s, the pharmaceutical companies came out with the antibiotics and chemotherapy, and they kind of shut this down. Whether it was a will or a want, they just didn't want this because it's inexpensive. It causes no harm to anybody. The worst thing it can do is make you feel better. And so from the 50s to the 90s, it was dormant in our country. In the 50s, though, the Russians grabbed this technology, the Russians, the Germans, the Japanese, and they are using it as of today. It's effective on a number of diseases. And what I mean by that, it's up to 80 different diseases we've identified it being effective on. And so as I looked at this, I was wondering why the existing machines in the 90s, 2000s, and up to till I created mine, why they weren't working as well as they did back in the early days. And a lot of it had to do with technology. It had to do with the materials that were being used. It had to do with scientific evaluation of the blood flow through the light. And so what I did is I engineered our own device that has calibrated ultraviolet lights. I patented a flat crystal cuvette that maximizes the blood as it's going through the ultraviolet chamber. And we fine-tuned that process with historical information of about 20 years of data. That it was so interesting that I opened our own clinic in Raleigh, North Carolina. We've had a doctor using it in Beloit for a little over 5 years with tremendous success on inflammatory diseases, Lyme, fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis. And in the middle of 2016, I got a call from an individual that she had stage 4 breast cancer. She had gone through 18 months of chemo, double mastectomy. She did 6 weeks of irradiation, and it didn't seem to help this poor gal. And she was in her early 50s. So I sent her to a clinic that we had our device at. And lo and behold, after 21 procedures and following our nutritional intake, there's a couple of parts that work well with the ultraviolet blood irradiation. She was 100% cancer-free in December 5th of 2016. And so I felt as if I needed to do something to help people. It helped me. It got rid of my prostate cancer in 4 procedures. We have a number of other patients here or nationwide that it's tremendously working well on. The effects of it are interesting. You had mentioned light earlier in your entry, and the light actually, there's a simple, because the excessive O2 amounts kills cells like viruses, bacteria, cancerous cells, and they can't thrive with a high dose of O2. Now, there's differences between the ozone therapy and photoluminescence, and I'll try to explain it a little bit from what I've researched. O3 will go into your blood system and kind of flushes things, makes you feel better. It's very good. The dilemma with O3 is that it flushes, and it's like a train running through, picking up things and then dropping it. With the photoluminescence, it's actually a chain reaction that we've found out scientifically, and looking at it under scopes, it once it's returned to the body, the blood cells start almost like a firework going off. You can't feel it, but if you look at it under scopes, it activates other cells. And what occurs when that happens is the body activates its own immune system. So we're kind of telling the body, rebuild, get rid of everything that's not healthy, the pathogens, the viruses, anything that doesn't belong, or tetanus, botulism, snake venom. It cleans out very fast. And we did a lot of scientific tests. We have personally cleansed out COVID here in the Raleigh and in Beloit and in several of our other clinics. We are currently going after emergency use authorization for post-COVID patients because it gets rid of the coagulation that COVID does cause in the body. And so we've got a number of good focused diseases that we're going to be going after on trials and trying to get insurance to pay for this. So with that being said, it's not an expensive procedure. It takes about an hour. It's very, very effective. And I just feel like we can help humans gain their quality of life back by 2 things. Number one, yes, our devices is definitely going to help you feel better. It's going to make you feel younger. It's going to give you energy and get rid of chronic fatigue. But Dr. Ben mentioned something earlier that I want the listeners to really adhere to, is that your nutritional intake kind of mandates your health. Unfortunately, in the past 2, 3, 4 decades, food processing, the chemicals they're adding to milk and giving to the chickens for the eggs and the chicken meat and so on and so forth, it has a toll, and it takes a toll on us. Can we get rid of it? Probably by eating more healthier, and doing photoluminescence would definitely help you make you feel better. But I think that if you're having an underlying condition that you can't get rid of, and what I mean by that is Lyme and chronic fatigue, foggy brain, we have a device that I engineered and designed, and it's proven with the efficacy that it does work on a number of these ailments. And we consider it an antibiotic device because it works like an antibiotic, but you're not taking pills. It's very healthy for you. It has not harmed anybody in over 100 years of providing procedures. And it's just clean and Mother Nature. It's providing the ultraviolet light that we're not getting from Mother Earth. I believe in the past century or so, our atmosphere has changed. I don't believe that we're acquiring the light and the UV rays that God expected us to get to be healthy. And this is, in my opinion, providing that back to your body. And so we've got our device with Dr. Ben. Thank the Lord he's accepted to work with us on this. And he's seeing tremendous results. Every other our other clinics around the nation are being the same. And so what we're doing is we've brought the technology of ultraviolet blood irradiation to modern technology. We've looked at the details, specific materials that we use, the flow rates, the frequencies, and we're developing in the next year, we will hopefully have a more modernized device that will be machine learning and patient learning so that we can work 100% effectively on most of the patients.
That's a great answer to that question, John. That's amazing. I didn't know the whole history you laid out of all the different roles you had played in the world. I knew about you had shared with me before about your personal health history. I knew that portion of the story, but you were quite an accomplished guy.
I kind of wondered why God gave me all this experience. And until 7 years ago, when this fell into my lap, then I knew why.
Yeah.
And the people that I've run into, Ben, is amazing that they've, that he's brought people into my life that help make this progress forward. I'm talking about the money guys, the networks of good doctors such as yourself. And our whole team is very effective. We're very communicative, and we want to help people. I think that's the bottom line.
Well, and I can testify to that in the time we've known each other. Your heart has definitely come through, and your desire to see people be well. So it's amazing.
You
should be to be commended for that. Before we go further into, because I want to dive in a little more, because I find history to be fascinating, and the photoluminescence book that you sent me goes through some of the history. But before we do that, I don't want to get too far down the road without actually describing the procedure to people so they have an idea of what exactly is happening when they're undergoing this procedure. Could you kind of lay out what exactly is going on with the patient when they come to do one of these therapies?
Sure, I would love to. So a couple of things that are to prepare yourself. So we're going to talk about pre-procedure and post-procedure, and we'll talk about the procedure itself in detail. But preparing yourself for a procedure is probably the most important thing, and that's starting to drink a ton of water a couple of days before your first appointment. It will tremendously help drawing the blood, making your blood move fluent, having it flow through our combination, the calibrated chamber effectively, and it'll give you a better procedure. So preparing yourself for that, if it's in the afternoon, you want to eat a nice big lunch, come in with a full belly, but make sure you're definitely drinking water. We recommend natural spring water, but any water is fine. And if by any chance you cannot get a chance to drink a ton of water 2 days before or one day before the morning of your procedure, take one aspirin. That will help Dr. Ben's staff to draw the blood out a little better. So once you come in and they evaluate you and sit in the chair, it's pretty much a one stick. So you get one IV. They draw out a certain amount of blood. Every patient's different. It's based off of your body weight. They'll draw the blood, and it takes about 5 to 10 minutes on the withdrawal. We reverse the bag and drop it back into you at 60 to 100 drops per minute. That flow rate is what we've designed to be most effective, because the blood, as it flows through, it's going to go into our flat cuvette that I mentioned previously, that's patented, and it's going to expose your blood to a combination of two lights that are calibrated. Now, what happens, it oxygenates the red blood cell. So as the red blood cells go back into your body, the oxygenation activates your own body's immune system. And by doing that, it's going to help rebuild it, the DNA and RNA. It will help rebuild it. So it's almost like, and I'll give it in comparison to rebooting a computer. So if you reboot a computer, it's going to close all of the apps that are open and flush everything out. And then when it restarts, it's going to be back to almost where you bought it. It's similar to what photoluminescence does to your body. Kind of reboots your DNA and RNA. It tells your body to flush out any pathogens and diseases and illnesses through your liver and kidney. So that's the other reason you want to drink a ton of water. The extraction or kill off, what we'll call Herxheimer, is going to take all of the faulty cells and pathogens and tumors or whatever were flushing out, and it'll flush it out through your kidney and liver. So pre-procedure, I mentioned you drink a ton of water. During the procedure, you're going to fill it a little bit. You might see get a little flush in the face because the oxygenated blood going back into your body. But normal patients don't feel anything. It's very gradual. And so post-procedure, you're going to rest a little bit, try to take a walk in the sunlight, and make sure you eat healthy and drink a ton of water. And so some folks, it's very rare, you might feel a Charlie horse coming on, but it'll only last a couple of seconds. You might feel twitching in parts of your body. And it's as it's working internally, it's cleansing out things inside. It's oxygenating all the vital organs, your brain, your lung, your kidney, your liver. Every part of your body gets touched by blood, and this helps oxygenate and energize. We notice that after the first or second, the patient, you have energy that you haven't had. I noticed, I was 60 when I did it, and after two or three procedures, I noticed myself running from the car to the gas station, and I didn't realize it. It was just energy that came along. There are some people after the first or second procedure that get worn down. And so what happens as the DNA and RNA is rebuilding, your immune system's kicking in. If you have something that is being working on aggressively, it's going to wear you out. It's going to feel, you almost feel like you ran around the football field a couple times and you haven't done anything. Well, what's happening is it's aggressively working to flush the illnesses and underlying conditions out of you. But it's not hard to deal with. You might find yourself sleeping a lot more than usual the first week or so. We have also, Dr. Ben, identified a maximum number of procedures and a frequency of procedures. And the reason for that is in the science books, we've realized that photoluminescence, once you've done the procedure, it will work aggressively for 10 days. So in that process of 10 days, we compound the procedure. So for very ill people that have chronic conditions, we can give a maximum of 3 procedures that first week. And the reason we can't do more than that is that kill-off that I explained. We don't want to overload your kidney and liver with the kill-off. So your excretion is important, and we've identified all of this, and it's very effective. And so then you'll go to 2 a week for the next couple of weeks, and then go down to 1 a week, and then eventually, once your disease is dealt with, and then it's usually up to the patient. Every patient's different. It could be once a month. It could be you might not need it again. It just depends on your disease, how long you've had it, what your nutritional intake and your living environment is. So we just don't know a lot of things, like if people are living with black mold or living near power lines or not eating very healthy. So some of the things that we do here in our clinic, and I know most clinics do, is try to determine what caused that. What caused the disease in getting into your body? And if we can flush that out and you can and discontinue whatever caused the disease from getting in there, then you should live your quality of life is better. You should live a long and healthy life. There's a couple of things that I will identify, Dr. Ben, is that we're doing research study, and we have an anecdotal based of the telomere. So the telomere, do you mind if I continue?
No, yeah, please do.
So the telomere is a DNA strand that when you're born, you have 18 strands. And then if you die of natural death, you have between 4 and 6 left. So it's almost like a candle. As you age, the candle goes down. What we've identified is that ultraviolet blood irradiation or photoluminescence can slow down the decrementation of your telomere. And in some cases, it's reversed it. We've added some years to people's life from the inside, from the tests that they've done. And so we're doing, baseline testing for this to prove it to the scientific world that we do have an anti-aging device. But I've seen it in a lot of my patients. You probably have too, Dr. Ben. You know, their skin becomes more vibrant. Your hair becomes more silkier. They have more energy, the whites of the eyes. And I'll mention this. We've had two male and two female patients in our Raleigh clinic here. It actually increased their vision. Now, why, we just don't know. Maybe there was a inflammation in something of their underlying conditions that they had that caused their vision to be a little decremented. But that's interesting. It's not written in any medical books anywhere. Yeah. A couple of other identifying things on some of our patients here. We were treating them for other ailments, and lo and behold, she had toe fungus for 10 years, and that disappeared. And a gentleman that came in for herpes, which is very good on at 4 to 6 procedures, when we can get rid of herpes, his jock itch that he had for 10 years disappeared. So there are things that we don't know. It's very, very healthy. It's just consider you're getting oxygenated into your body, and it's helping you tremendously, and it's flushing out things that don't belong in your body. And we feel it will help anybody. The worst thing it can do to you is make you feel better.
Right. Well, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's all the negative to look forward to. Yeah. Sign me up. The telomere thing, I want to just expound on that real quick before we have to take a break. But for the listeners, because we haven't talked about that much on our show in the past. So, and I describe it, the analogy I'll give to patients is like the ends of your shoelace. It had that little plastic on the end of the shoelace. And every time your DNA replicates itself inside a cell, just a little piece of the end of that DNA, think of it like the end of the shoelace, that plastic cap, a little bit of it gets shaved off. And so all throughout life, as you go on and your cells are continually dividing and replicating and regenerating, you lose a little bit of the end of that DNA strand on that telomere. And once it gets to a certain length, it loses so much length and you die, basically. So it's a way to kind of mark your age. Even if you're only 40 years old, based off your telomeres, you may look like you're 60 years old, or vice versa. Maybe you only look 30 years old. So depending upon environmental factors like toxins and, of course, stress, nutrition, all the things we talk about, these diet lifestyle things, they can impact how quickly the telomeres shrink or get cut down versus not. So that's what John's talking about here, is this device is, they've identified that it can slow down or stop that telomere shrinking and being chopped down. So that's exciting, John.
Yeah, it is.
I think this would be a good break point. We got to take a quick commercial break, John. But before we go, if people want to learn more about this, is there a website they can follow you or your company or the device or a book, or just what's a way for people to learn more?
Well, there's a good book that it's called Into the Light. I believe this would give them a little bit more information about ultraviolet blood irradiation. But our website, which is ASCEPIMED, ASCEPIMED.com, kind of gives you a summary of the information that I spoke about, and a contact form if you have questions. But we're always open for patients to contact us, and we look forward to helping people. Yep.
Awesome. ASCEPIMED.com. All right. Well, we are talking with John Skordos, and we are so excited to have you again, John. We're going to take this quick break and be right back. Y'all stick with us. I am Ben Edwards, and you're the cure. Okay, we're back. You're the cure with Dr. Ben Edwards interviewing today. John Skordos, ASCEPIMED.com is the website. Check that out. We're talking about photoluminescence is the technical name, or another name, ultraviolet blood irradiation. Basically, think of it as you're going to donate blood at your local blood bank, but instead of them putting that bag of blood on the shelf for someone else to use, we just drip it right back into the body. And that IV line that's dripping your blood back into you through your IV in your arm runs through a little box. It has some light bulbs on it that shine light onto the blood. And it's that light hitting the cells in the blood that create dynamic and amazing things, all the way down to the mitochondrial level. So that's what we're talking about when we say ultraviolet blood irradiation. One question, John, that people unfamiliar with this may think is, well, ultraviolet, isn't that bad? Isn't that like sunburn and skin cancer, and doesn't that damage us? So explain a little bit more as far as ultraviolet blood, or the ultraviolet light and the wavelengths and frequencies and all that, and the potential Absolutely. Damaging effects of some of those.
Absolutely. So yes, to answer your question, there are three different ultraviolet lights. The UVA light is a bacterial light. In the 70s, the kids used it to brighten up their room. It's a black light. It's very similar to a black light. It omits 340 to 370 nanometers. And it's very, believe it or not, it's a very good bacterial light. So any bacteria can actually get cleansed out with a UVA light. The UVB light is a red light, and that spectrum runs between 270 to 320 nanometers. The effectiveness of the B is that it's good for external use on the skin. We don't have any products as of yet with the B, but we combine the A and the C. So the C light is very detrimental to the eyesight, to your skin, and that's why they tell you to put suntan lotion on. It's the actual ultraviolet C light, but it's a germicidal light. So what happens if it's exposed to the skin or eyes? Yes, it can be harmful. We've developed our device so that it's not seen by the naked eye. It's up inside the box when you close the lid to the device, and your blood's running through it. Nobody's exposed to the UVC light. But the UVC light is very effective, being a germicidal light. It actually is in combination, and the reason we calibrate these lights is because the nanometer actually creates a magnetic field in between there, right where the cuvette's running through. And by creating that that field, one light on top and one on the bottom, in that center of that, it's irradiation. So what's happening by the wavelengths of these two, it creates almost like a plant changing sunlight to chlorophyll. So it's providing the sunlight to your blood, which creates the oxygen and attached to your red blood cell. And that's when it goes back into your body, activates your immune system. And so we're kind of giving God's UVC light to you directly, that you're not getting because of the atmospheric conditions, because of maybe it being too strong in certain geographical areas, too weak in others. Like Dr. Ben mentioned earlier, Alaska, they've got 6 months of sun, 6 months of darkness, and they're not getting that sunlight. So you become more out. Our bodies should be acquiring vitamin C and vitamin D from the UVC light. And so what this, in my opinion, what this does, it's providing you with what God expected your body to get from the sunlight. It's very effective. Hopefully that helps you with the description of the ultraviolet light.
Yep, that was perfect. I think that'll answer a lot of questions. And I just want to repeat for before we went to the break, the website, just in case you didn't understand the spelling, for everybody to go check it out, ASCEPIMed.com, ASCEPIMed.com. And on that website, you can read more all about what we're talking about. And then there's a booklet that I'd encourage you all to download right there on the website. You can get a quick little ebook, 6 chapters, goes through some of the history. And John, I just found it fascinating, and I kind of want to go through this chapter 2, the history.
Sure.
100 years ago, the Danish physician Niels Finsen, says he found that ultraviolet light could effectively treat skin disorders, and he was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1903,
yes,
in medicine due to the findings of this the UV light treating lupus. Now that was just ultraviolet light; that wasn't photoluminescence. It wasn't of the blood, correct?
Actually, it was, Dr. Ben.
Oh, okay.
They used the UVC light on that particular research, and then the combination was designed by Emmett Knott out of Seattle, Washington. So when Emmett Knott pioneered, he's actually, I mostly took his design that worked very well back in the 40s and 50s. I talked to his son. I talked to some doctors that actually used one of the Knott devices. I've physically looked at it, and I kind of understood why the existing UBI devices weren't working that well. And if I can explain a little bit. So in the 90s, when they came out with the UBI, some of the doctors read the history or had family that did it or went over to Germany or Russia or Japan and did the UBI devices. They felt a lot better. They got cleansed with whatever their underlying conditions were. So they tried to develop something, and without looking at the scientific analysis of it. So they used tubular cuvettes. The tubular cuvettes, whether the material was glass, of course, UV light is filtered to any type of glass. So we use fused silica, which is a hardened gas, so that it doesn't change any of the spectrum of the ultraviolet light. That's one of the reasons we work a lot better. The other is the pure crystal cuvette. So their tubular cuvette, we did the analysis on it. It penetrates about 7 to 13% maximum. So if your blood's going through a tube, number one, the center of the tube's not going to get exposed because it's not flattened out. Number two, the tubular, you don't really have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what happens to light when it hits a curvature. It bends. And so that was one of the identifying factors that I noticed as I traveled around the nation to look at these products. The second thing is, by having the flat crystal cuvette, you're maximizing the calibration of the lights onto the blood. The other devices, and we're the only one in the world that's calibrated, by the way, and because we identified that different calibrations, and the fluorescent lights use gas in the bulb itself. It's not a filament. So the gas, as it depletes, we've identified that the UVC light will last about 8,000 hours, but it needs to get calibrated about every 500 to 600 hours. The UVA light's a little different. That'll last about 10,000 hours, and it takes about 1,000 to 1,500 hours before we need to recalibrate that. And the reason the calibration needs to happen is because that magnetic field that I was talking about previously, if it becomes a little less stronger, the UVC or the UVA, we have to calibrate that so that that magnetic field maximizes the efficiencies of the ultraviolet photoluminescence against your blood. And that's the reason we work so well.
Wow, that's a great explanation. And I forgot to mention at the top of the show that we have done in our clinic other devices in the past. And so some of our patients are familiar with that. But one of my former employees, she was actually a mid-level provider, so a practitioner, but she had some personal health challenges, pretty significant to the point she had to stop working. But she traveled, and of course she had done all the things at our clinic that we knew to do, lots of different therapies, some of the leading integrative therapies. But then she even traveled to some of the top clinics around the country and did different therapies at what I would say are kind of the all-stars, the mentors of mine even, and ended up in a clinic in New York and felt like she really got well there. But I was talking to her and she said the one device that she, if she had to pick one device out of all the things she's done and all the things she's tried, it would be the PL2020. And she highly encouraged me to add it to our repertoire here in our clinic. So that was my introduction to PL2020. And so we've had it now for almost 2 months, I think, John. And we've seen some amazing results too. And especially what really caught my eye was some longstanding patients of ours that have been with us for a number of years. And so I'm not saying they're perfect in their four pillars of nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, but they're educated in it and definitely not standard American. So they were pretty aggressive on their diet and lifestyle and supplementation and other therapies and modalities, but we're still just not all the way well with these two ladies in particular had chronic Lyme syndrome. And after a few treatments, I think 5 or 6, they just reported to me how much just better they felt, just like a new person. Like, in one instance, had a hard time getting out of bed even to get her daily activities completed with her family, and almost bedbound energy level wise, that she was just so depleted of energy. She felt like a completely new woman and was just singing the praises of the PL 2020. So that definitely caught my eye, those two things. My former employee who sang its praises and had personal testimony to give there, and then now our own patient. So wanted to throw that in as
that's wonderful
compliment to all your study and research and development of this device.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's good to hear that it's helping people. Yeah,
and I know we have to be careful in this age of COVID-19 and people talking about this and that can cure and treat, even when there's, I'll quote Dr. Pierre Corey here, a mountain of evidence for ivermectin's benefits for COVID-19, and Dr. Peter McCullough testifying just a week or two ago at the Texas Senate. He testified at the U.S. Senate earlier in the year, or late last year. And his hydroxychloroquine studies are pretty amazing. And there's other things too. And that gets into politics and gets into all kinds of things, unfortunately. But when I started really diving deeper into the history of photoluminescence, UVBI, I was just amazed. And of course, I had to think about COVID-19 and what could the effects be on COVID-19. So I just want to tell everybody historically, and again, this is from the booklet you can get on the website. In the 1920s, Walter Udy, I hope I'm saying that right, he's a medical doctor in Minneapolis, in the 1920s treated a series of 100 cases of acute streptococcus bacterial infection, claiming nearly 100% cure rate, and which this was unheard of back then. And then you mentioned Emmett Nott pioneered the radiation of the blood, and he was seeing amazing results too with people near death. I think in this day and age, people kind of forget that if you have a bad infection, a bad pneumonia or sepsis during childbirth, if the women get infection in the womb, in the uterus, these were deadly diagnoses. Almost for sure, a death sentence if you had a diagnosis like this. And so Dr. Nott and others were getting even 50% cure rates of septic ICU-bound patients. It was just incredible back there in the 1930s, 1940s. But then you talk about, or in the booklet, kind of the AMA, I wanted to quote this, went to war on. And I think that's important for people to know, because some people are naive, well, maybe not so much now, but I know I for sure was, that if we have a major outbreak of some pandemic and some deadly germ, COVID-19 or Ebola or anything else, we kind of have this, or I had this notion that we would just look under every rock for any potential therapy, natural or pharmaceutical, it doesn't matter, let's all hands on deck, like let's get all the smart guys and gals in a room and let's just throw the kitchen sink at it and see what sticks. And unfortunately, we had a hard enough time even getting ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, pharmaceutical conversations going, much less a quote-unquote natural therapy, which there's numerous of, obviously, from ozone to hydrogen peroxide and vitamin C and vitamin D and all kinds of stuff, but ultraviolet blood irradiation. So I don't know where I'm going with this, except to maybe trying to put myself in the listener's shoes, and they're scratching their head of how could this be such a great therapy? You know, from 100 years ago, we have evidence of benefit, and it not be like talked about by everybody. And the last thing before you answer that, I do want to mention, and maybe you could speak to this, but Michael Hamblin, PhD, Michael Hamblin, is, from what I can see in reading his bio and reading his work, he seems to be a kind of the world's authority on ultraviolet blood irradiation and using light as in medical devices and for therapy. 422 peer-reviewed articles he has published overall, not just all about light. Editor-in-chief of Photoimmodulation, Photomedicine, and Laser Surgery. Associate editor of 10 different journals. I think he works at a combination of MIT and Harvard. I mean, just seems like one of the most brilliant guys in the world as far as light as medical therapy and light's effects on physiology.
Yes.
Why is Michael Hamblin and you, your company and others, pioneers, why don't they have a seat at the table?
Well, you know, we get a lot of restrictions. It's becoming a little bit more flexible now, Dr. Ben, the fact that, you know, people are looking at alternative methods now, homeopathic methods. A lot of people think those are witch doctors, but in realistic value, my grandmother from Greece was a midwife, and I'm not sure if that runs in my blood, and that's the reason I'm doing this, but they would cure or help people with a number of different illnesses with natural remedies, you know, whether it be tea or linseed oil or tea tree oil or whatever. They had all of that into their hat. And me finding this, and I, Dr. Hamblin, by the way, is retired. He is so amazed at what we're doing. He is part of our board of consultation.
Okay.
We have him and several other high-end photoluminescence people that are involved with us as well, just because of their acknowledgement of the photoluminescence. And when I, and he's retired in London, by the way, we talk periodically. So a lot of the information that I gathered, and it took me about a year, actually it took one of my analysts a year to decipher out the effectiveness, whether it be anecdotal, we threw it away. I wanted to look at actual medical history, and that's the reason I created this journal that if you can download it off our website. It gives you kind of a summary of all of this. Why? A lot of it has to do with money, Dr. Ben. I hate to say it, but like I said previously, it's not an expensive procedure. You know, it could range from $250 to $500, depending on your geographic location per procedure. A lot of clinics give a good group package for it. But in any fashion, let's say you've got something that's really severe, and let's say you have to do 20 procedures. Let's say it's, you know, let's say $300 a procedure, that's $6,000. I mean, you're probably going to pay that out of your pocket for insurance covered chemo or radiation or antibiotics or whatever the case may be. And not just that, but it's not only just alleviating your underlying condition, it's giving your body energy. It's getting rid of your chronic fatigue. It's getting rid of your, you know, your brain fog. We've noticed that a lot of our patients here in the Raleigh area with fibromyalgia, they have a lot of different conditions from the fibromyalgia, from inflammation to the joints to getting out of bed to their head not being able to think right. I mean, we had this one lady that published 6 books, and when we got her, she said she hadn't published any books in the past several years because she can't concentrate enough. Well, lo and behold, after the third procedure, she told us that she's getting ready to publish another book. And she can get out of bed. She can't tell when it's going to rain anymore. You know, it's just amazing some of the things that it does that you're not aware of. And because of the effectiveness being a gradual effect, a lot of the women don't realize until their husbands tell them, what have you done to your skin? Or why do you look so good? Or how much energy have you gotten? And it's really a giving life back to patients. You don't have to be sick to do this. I mean, if you're in your early 60s and you're starting to get run down a little bit, I mean, I'm 67, so I've been through it. I felt like I was 39 after my third procedure. I just couldn't believe it. And so I wanted to provide that to patients. And as we age, you know, 60s is now the old, I guess, 30s or 40s, you know, and my mother's 93, and I'll be blessed if I'd be at her health at 93. I mean, I'm hoping I live to 110 with the UBI, but, you know, we just don't know yet. We're trying to better the benefits of the photoluminescence. We've got a lot of good people working with us, like Dr. Ben in New York, and we've got Chicago. We've got it around the nation of the doctors that are working with us to provide us information so that we can become more effective with our next level device that will be coming out towards the end of the year. And I think that this procedure being so effective, and our efforts are working, and I will say this, we are now in a West Coast cancer center. This is our first day. Our staff is out there training the staff there. They're going to integrate it into their protocol. And we already have 10 patients lined up that couldn't wait to get our device and the procedures. And I can report back to you, Dr. Ben, towards the end of this week on the progression we've done there. But we're really excited for this because being part of the cancer center, we're now going to become a medical device. And that was my will, is to take this device that's been used for over 100 years, it's never harmed anybody. And part of the FDA qualifications to get their approval is that you don't harm anybody. That doesn't necessarily say you have to help them what you say you're going to help them with, but they don't want the pharmaceutical or device or whatever to harm the patient. Well, we've got 120 years of procedural procedures that's never harmed anybody. So it shouldn't take us too long to get that. There is a device out that got FDA approval about 10 years ago. It's called the Therakos product. And so they kind of do a little different operation. They'll withdraw a certain amount of blood from the patient. They centrifuge it, separate the white, red, and plasma. They use the white blood cells and run the UVA, the bacterial light, across it, and return that back to the host. And that's very effective for T-cell lymphoma, which is a skin condition. So a lot of the skin conditions that we've identified, like psoriasis and eczema and wounds that don't close, where we can actually close a diabetic lesion where you don't have to amputate the foot when it gets gangrene, we've closed that. It's amazing. It's like a God came down and helped us, because I couldn't believe it. The gentleman had a 3.5 inch on the bottom of his foot. It was 1.25 inches deep, and it was gangrene. After 6 procedures, the wound was totally closed. I have photos, I have medical history of this, and it's just an amazing thing to see that. And so, you know, we've got a lot of good identifying medical proof and efficacies going on. So being part of the cancer center, that's very popular, and they have their hands tied with the medical group, with the FDA, with the CMS, and that's the other part of this, Dr. Ben, is that our efforts are trying to get insurance companies to pay for this for people, because it is a benefit to your health. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on that. And maybe this time next year, we'll be talking again, hopefully on a podcast that will be promoting the fact that insurance is going to pay for this to get you healthy.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And really, that's not going to happen until the FDA puts their stamp of approval, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Well, I keep going back to your book. I just, like I said, I love history, so I want to throw this out for the listeners and encourage you to go download this and read this for yourself. 1947, Professor Milley, he published more research about ultraviolet blood irradiation than anyone else, and he reported what might have been the largest case series involving ultraviolet blood irradiation, 445 patients with a variety of life-threatening infections. This is over a six-year period of time. All the early infection patients and 98% of the moderately advanced and 45% of the nearly dead patient recovered after treatment with the UBI. And this is, remember, 1947. Antibiotics were really not around or just getting started. And so typically these would have been death sentences. I mean, just incredible. The historical perspective, number of case series and published data on this. And with having Michael Hamlin on the board, I didn't realize that. I mean, that's what an all-star lineup you have, it sounds like, advising you and helping you to bring this to fruition. So, I mean, my hope would be, too, and my prayer would be that the truth would continue to shine bright, and that these various clinics around the country that are working with you can continue to produce the data, and because doctors, obviously the FDA, but physicians in general need data, and apparently we need a whole lot of data when you look at some of this ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. There's no downside, pharmaceuticals, you're always going to have some potential downside, even if it's minimal. I mean, drugs are foreign substances. The body's got to metabolize them and do something with them, and there's always that potential of something negative. And of course, with this procedure, we are puncturing the skin. You know, when we go through informed consent, we have to tell people we're putting a needle into your vein. Just like at the blood bank, there's always a chance when you puncture the skin, you could create infection. Now, it's exceedingly rare, and we use a sterile technique and all that. But when your informed consent is pretty small because there's no known negative effects, I mean, that's saying something. So,
yes, it is.
I wish you Godspeed in getting this device down that road of FDA approval and where insurance will cover it and more clinics can use it, more hospitals. I just think about all the ICUs. I mean, if every single ICU patient has COVID could be getting blood irradiation every day, it would just be incredible. So
it would be amazing. Yeah.
I pray that day will come, John, and I appreciate
it. I do too, Dr. Ben. Yeah.
I appreciate all your hard work.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate your assistance and being part of our team. I'll call it a family. A couple of things I'll mention while we're on a podcast is that we're working with some major universities and the FDA with Alzheimer's disease. You know, we've got patients here that we've helped with PTSD, Asperger's. We have Dr. Jim Poole working with us here. It's an internationally renowned Asperger's doctor. And we have the two patients under our baseline that he's seen a tremendous increase in their functionality, in their daily routines. Their parents call me and thank me up personally. But, you know, we're gathering the medical proof of that. But really is exciting is that the Alzheimer's, because we have identified, you know, what causes Alzheimer's, where it comes from is a different story. But the formulation of chemicals in the blood causes Alzheimer's. And so by photoluminescing the blood, we're ridding the blood of that particular chemical. Obviously, it takes time to do the proof of theory, but we've seen positive results on it. You know, so that's really exciting as well.
Well, that's awesome, John. And I want to remind everybody what we talk about here at Veritas as far as root causes of all these different diseases that you could argue are all just symptoms. We call them diseases, but it boils down to the cell needs to be able to make energy and then clear the exhaust, clear the free radicals, clear the damaging chemicals. And really, if your body can do that efficiently, if your cells can make enough ATP for those cells to function, do what they're designed and supposed to be doing, and also clear all the toxicity, the exhaust out, you should be symptom free. And when you boil down Alzheimer's and Asperger's and heart disease and fibromyalgia and lupus and osteoarthritis and all these things, inflammation's at the very root of this, and inflammation's typically an imbalance of that equation of being able to create enough energy and clear the exhaust. So when you have a device that can help on both sides of that equation, the energy production and the clearing of the exhaust, then that's a device that needs to be wholeheartedly considered across the board in all the disease spectrum. So I can tell you in the 2 months, John, we've been super, super pleased. And our patients, if they could jump on here, they would want to thank you personally, too, for your hard work.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Dr. Ben. I really do. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are about out of time. Everybody, go check out the website, acepimed.com. That's acepimed.com. And you can learn more about this device. I'm sure keep in touch with the future devices that are coming down the road and the clinical data that's going to be coming out, the ebook that's on there. So check that out. John, thank you again for being with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Dr. Ben, I appreciate having me.
All right. We will have you back in the future.
I look forward to it.
Okay. All right, everybody. That's another episode of You're the Cure. Y'all go out there and be who God made you to be. We'll be back next week with another great show. I'm Ben Edwards, you're the Cure.